And what I'd like to convey is that we see in the headlines of the newspapers all of these things about things that are being disrupted.
Today,
and what I'd like for us to consider is that every time we see one of those headlines, it's like it's saying, Jesus is coming.
I know the Lord wants us to pray more than we do. Don't you think?
So that's
but I've done some recent study
the,
in the book
title.
Of Nehemiah, and what I've found is the book of
Hebrews
Nehemiah
1,
is a book
through
12 of prayer.
Speaks about
and
how
I don't know
the
if you've
earth
noticed that,
is impacted
but it is
by
a
sin.
Book of prayer.
And thou, Lord,
and
in the beginning hast laid the foundation
of the
earth,
for,
and the heavens are the works
night,
of thine hand.
And how it's showing
they shall perish,
is,
but thou remainest.
It's a,
and they all wax old as
doth
a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail.
But in order to do that, we need to be
prayer. We see that clearly. Portrayed there that there is an impact upon the earth
is a
by sin.
It says
here from
here,
the book Education,
the
same thing, page 26.
Prayer,
although the earth was blighted with the
word,
curse, nature was still
weapons.
To be man's lesson book.
This is the only
it could
way
not
we can
now represent goodness only, for
pray,
evil was everywhere present,
we don't study
marring
the word,
earth and
we
sea and air with its
defenseless.
Defiling touch. Thus, not only the life of man, but the nature
he
of the beasts,
come in,
the trees
he
of the forest,
attack.
The grass of the field,
if you're
the very
and praying
air
too, but you
breathe,
have weapons
all
that you can
the
fight
sad
him off
lesson
with. But if you are not studying and praying,
evil.
You are
and
defenseless.
Once again, Patriarchs
like
and
going
Prophets,
into battle
page 67,
without
the same.
Any armor on.
Thus were revealed
weapon.
To Adam important
that,
events
we?
In the history of mankind.
But this is
from the
we,
time when the divine sentence
busy.
Was pronounced
the cares
in Eden,
of life take
through
us
the flood,
from what is
and
really
onward
important.
To the first advent of
and
the
we
Son
would
of God.
Forget, or
crime
say, Lord,
would increase through successive
prayer,
generations,
and, we rush
and the curse of sin
what
would rest
do, we need to do for the
more
day.
And
we
more
need to not, we
heavily
need to
upon
prioritize.
The human race. Upon the beast and upon the earth.
For God
now that more and
day.
More, what does that tell us that would we would
it
see in
here,
terms of a progression
the first neglect of prayer
and
Bible study makes
end,
easier
right?
the second. Have you noticed that? I've noticed it in my life.
Sin upon the earth,
if
we
neglect
we
it one day, is it easier than tomorrow
greater,
to neglect
and greater,
it again?
And greater, and at its greatest.
The Holy
as
Spirit
we
is talking
the end.
To us, saying, amen? Pray, pray.
Now,
the first resistance to the Spirit's
what
pleading
got me excited
prepares
about
the way for the second resistance.
Was a conference I attended.
Thus the heart is hardened.
It was over New Year's at ASI in Orlando,
hearts,
Florida.
So we can hear the voice of God speak to us.
Yeah, GYC.
And the conscience
and,
is seared
it was,
when we do this.
Called
the
planet
of
in
faith.
Distress. And
signs of the
if
times,
this stimulates an interest in you studying it more, there's a great book by
the
Scott
prayer
Christensen,
faith is the
who
weapon
used to be one
by
of the
which
cadre
we may
directors.
Successfully resist
and,
every
he lives up in Maine, and
of
he's
the
made
enemy.
This his study.
Amen. Every assault.
To me, it's just fascinating. And
wow.
It's kind of a,
we,
to me,
we
a
don't
new
realize
slant
what a weapon we
on looking
have
at
prayer,
the signs of the
talking
end.
To our God.
Well, here are
we
some of the systems that God
what
has
a weapon
put
that is.
On the earth.
And I don't know if you've ever
week,
thought of it
prayer
as a weapon,
and they're all interrelated,
but I'll share with you later
and
when I
they work
talk
together,
a little bit more about the book of Nehemiah this afternoon,
one impacting
how God
upon
led
the other
me
in,
to see
in God's design
the
in favorable ways.
In Nehemiah's
we have this global food production
prayer.
System. A global
let's
climate
look at Nehemiah
system,
for just
a global
a minute.
Oceanic system, a global
remember
fresh water
Steve
system.
Was teaching
and then
us
we have
the book
man's
of Nehemiah,
systems
chapter
as well,
one,
and they've been impacted.
And
one we'll discuss
four
is the political system
months.
And the economic system.
When I read that and really let that sink
well,
into me,
let's discuss first this
I realized
global food
I've never
production
done that.
System.
Have you guys, have
here
anybody here ever done that? Has anyone ever mourned?
Right?
And
but
fasted
we know
for 4 months.
That we see it in the newspaper.
Now, I doubt
we see
he
it
went
in
4 months
news,
without food,
that's
but I'm
not
sure
the case everywhere in the world. There's a maldistribution
really seeking
of food,
God
definitely.
During that time
well, back
period,
in the 50s,
mourning over the reproach of God's cause and His
that
name.
That were studying
as Adventists, we need to do the same.
The increase in food production, and then they were comparing that to the increase in population. And they saw the increase in food production going at a rate like this, but they saw the population
if
going like this. Well, what's going to
we
happen
need
with those
God
two,
and his
those
prayer
two
time,
lines?
We will never, ever
they saw
change.
That soon there'd be out of food. And so
we need
they,
this time with God.
They started this this term, the Green
I can
Revolution.
Think of two times in my life.
Now, it's not what we
where I was so
what
sad
we're thinking of today
that
in terms
it brought
of the
me
movement.
To fasting.
The Green
and
Revolution
for days.
Was a kind of
but
a systematic way. And a political way and a developmental way and an educational way of spreading, exporting to the entire world what we had learned in the United States about high output farming.
Mourning over something.
This involved mechanized tilling, artificial fertilizer, use of insecticides and herbicides, and hybrid seeds.
Before God, and now, seeking His hybrid power seeds and His face
are
to
much
finish,
more productive
or to
than
fix
natural seeds. In fact,
that
about
is
10
broken
times
in our own
more
lives,
productive.
Or to
but
fix
along with
maybe
that tenfold increase, there's tenfold the resources
whole.
That are necessary.
We need this,
especially
revival
water.
Revival and Reformation. We have got
now underlying
to realize
the plains
the state we are in.
You know about the plains states here in Kansas, right?
Do you think
underlying
that God wants
the plains
to talk
states,
to us?
There's this huge but
you know
shallow
that he wants to talk
aquifer
to us more than we want to talk to him?
Aquifer.
Do you believe that?
And all farmers have had to do is sink a fairly shallow well
he gives
into
us
that
promise.
Aquifer
in Jeremiah
and
33:3,
all the water
I claim
they
it
need.
A lot.
Thus,
and whenever
this
I claim this promise, I hear
from the breadbasket of the world.
He talks to me.
Productive.
He shows me something. He tells me something.
And these
I
farming techniques were so effective.
Says, call unto me, and I will answer
and
you
the
and show
export
you great
of them to
things,
other parts of the world, that was so effective.
In the morning when you get up, do you know what's going to happen
soared
for the day? Do any of us know what's going to
like
happen when we step
solved,
outside?
Right?
We don't. God wants to tell us.
Well, every time man
he
thinks he's solved
to tell
the problem through
what's
technology,
what's going to happen today, and what you need to be prepared for, and what you need to pray for, the Holy Spirit wants
and there were
to tell
with this export
and
of
want you to
high
pray
output
for those
farming, there
so
were
you can
definitely
be ready.
Unintended
the fight is on our knees. That's
there was
where the
this
battle
thinking
begins.
That, well, if a little fertilizer is good, then
in the book of Nehemiah, there were many times in which
be better,
Nehemiah
right?
spoke to the fact that the Lord told him
and
things.
Over
if you look
time,
at chapter 4 and
what
verse 15, God told them that the enemy was planning an attack.
Since fertilizer that's left in the soil
and in
6:12, exists in the form
Nehemiah
of salt,
perceived that God had not sent this particular man with a message. He knew that only because he was
now,
praying.
This isn't nearly so much of a problem.
And then in chapter 9, Ezra stood up and read the book of the law and the people heard God
speaking
to them.
Of fertilizer. But this is
and his words brought confession,
third world country.
Repentance, and reformation.
The over-application.
God speaks to us in many ways.
Pretty
I cannot
scary.
Count the times that I have come to the Lord and
so we
claimed
see the
this promise right here and
more
he has told
and
me
more
things. And every time he has told me something
in addition
that
to
I
that,
did not know
the insecticides
it, I was amazed
have become more
how
and more
he
powerful
told me things that I needed
in order to,
know. To
accomplish the same result.
One morning when I was culpeper
from the
in
1940s
Eureka,
to the 1990s,
I didn't have
crop
any leaves.
Losses to
I
pests
didn't have
and weeds
to go.
Increased in
so
spite
I went,
of a tenfold
I decided, the Lord
increase
me,
in both the amount
canvassing.
And the toxicity
door to door.
Of pesticides
I said,
and
Lord,
a hundredfold
I don't know
increase
where to go today,
in the use of herbicides.
And I prayed.
The side effect
and
of these powerful
I stopped,
insecticides
I asked God, where is
they,
it you wanted me to
they,
go today?
They kill the microorganisms
Fifth Street
in the
just
soil.
Brazened on my mind.
Now, the microorganisms
said, okay, Lord,
in the soil
that's where
are
I'm
part
going.
Of what's
I got up, I got my books. I started
the
at the
plant,
end of Fifth Street. I got all the way to Main Street.
To absorb phosphorus.
Got all the way to Main Street.
So as a result of
and
killing these
nobody
microorganisms,
would answer the door.
As a
nobody would let me in.
Of the soil becoming more
I got
salty,
to Main Street and I had 3 hours before I had to pick up
Hannah
for school.
Dying
so
off.
I said, okay, Lord, I've got
what
3 hours.
What have we had to do? In
somebody
terms
must
of
be on the other side of Main Street that I need
to
meet. To
keep our product, our,
tell me where.
Production high.
I just kept going, knocking, knocking, knocking,
a lot
knocking.
Of phosphorus.
Went down about 4 blocks.
Well, eventually,
the, time, saying, Lord,
the soil becomes unable to produce and becomes useless.
So I knocked on this door. A very nice lady.
This is a sobering
right
statistic
here.
About that.
Miss Nancy
all of the
answered
land
the door.
That's been degraded.
And she told me later she didn't let people
and
in usually.
Desertified.
But she must have just liked my smile.
Since
I don't
1945
know.
amounts
but she
to
let me in and I got to share with her the books and she bought the Great
the
Controversy
vegetated
and
surface.
The New Testament of the Bible story books for her grandchildren. And
that's
we had a wonderful conversation.
That's
and then
amazing.
Came to
each
the point where I was about ready to go and have prayer with her.
Of
and
once,
I said, have you ever studied the
once
prophecies
was
before?
Forest
she says, no,
has
I
become
haven't.
Farmland
I said, like
and
she
now
says,
has become
you know,
useless.
I think I would.
20 million
so
acres of additional useful
friendship.
Land
and we began to study every
year.
Week.
And this process
and
is so severe in
with
China.
Me and we had a wonderful
you know what they're
time,
doing?
And then we had
to
an
find more tillable
series,
acreage.
Came to that.
They resorted
Nancy,
to actually taking
Nancy,
villages and
she
moving
me to all kinds
the
of
land that once
in
they were
Eureka,
farming
that
could no longer be farmed. They move entire villages so that they can just farm
God
under the land where the village was.
Does he want you to send you to doors?
That's how severe this problem is becoming.
And because of Nancy, I met Vicky, and Vicky's sitting right here beside her.
Have you read about the depletion of the underground aquifer?
And because of that,
how many
more
of you
people
have,
are
have
in
seen
the
articles
too.
About that? I've,
and
I
more,
saw articles
and more.
About it, and I
it's just a wonderful
pretty much
story.
Was
and Jared,
unimpressed.
He's here.
I didn't
you know, he's,
really understand the significance of that.
And
I felt
so
that, well, there's
that
not a net loss
we don't
of water.
Realize God
the
wants
water
us to go meet.
Lowering in one place,
we've
it must
to
be raising somewhere else.
Touch their lives
so, you know,
and give
I didn't
them
see that as an issue,
God,
but I didn't really
so
understand
so that they desire
issue
to study His Word
most
and find out what God wants to tell
know
them.
Were created
God has a message
flood
for each of us.
And while
you know,
some
but
of the
one
shallow
thing that the Lord has shown
have
me
some
is
degree
that
of replenishment from rainwater,
have you ever
recently
thought about
much less replenishment?
Well, have you ever
even
had a friend maybe
that
came and
rainwater
talked to you
because of the changes in the weather?
Called you up or maybe saw
we
you at church
bigger
and
talk, more flooding,
all they did is want to tell you about everything about them
vegetated,
and then they never wanted to hear
surface,
anything about you. Have you ever had a friend like that?
Water to percolate in and so the result
I've had
is
friends
we,
like that. I've probably been that kind
a lot of water
before,
in a lot of
I have, forgive me. I've done that to you. To talk, tell you
really
all about yourself and everything
so really
that's going on, and then they really are
not
interested in hearing anything about you. And you, after a while,
up
if you're a friend with someone like that, you tend not to really want to be around
plane
that person. Do we do that to God?
Farmers in China.
Do we tell God everything we want?
You know, this,
do we talk to Him and then
rush
off?
Because they are kind of on the leading edge of dealing with
quote
these problems.
In education, page 260. It says, many in their seasons of devotion fail of receiving
but farmers
the blessing
in China
of real
who once
communion
put down shallow wells and had all the water they needed.
Do you want real communion with God? Real communion?
A few years back,
they are
had
no,
to deepen
are
those wells.
They are in too great a haste. I've been guilty of
and
this.
And then,
okay,
in
I'm
shorter
kind of
interval, they
like
had to deepen them
done
even
are
more.
Like that?
Check, now they are putting
done
down,
check,
or a little bit,
check,
a few years
check,
back, they
check
were putting down
got
wells.
Got a list of things I've got to do today.
400
check,
feet
check,
deep.
Check.
Now, if you
are
put a well down 400 feet deep, where does the pump have to be?
She says, with hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving
you can't
presence,
draw water
pausing
more
perhaps
than
a moment
so the pump
within
has
the sacred precepts,
the bottom of the well,
but not waiting for counsel.
You have to push the water up, right?
They have no time to remain with the divine teacher.
Now, if you're going to put a pump
that's
capable of putting a lot of water and pushing a column of water
God,
400 feet, how big
really
is that pump?
We really never even gave it to Him. We just
so it has to be a big pump.
It.
Now, if you're going to put a big pump
says,
down a well, how big does
a
well
shaft
have?
Moment in His presence, but personal contact.
Can you
with
see
Christ
that these wells are getting really expensive?
With Him.
Now, what
this
happens when these 400 feet wells go dry?
We have to have this, you guys.
They are in
We've
serious
trouble.
We've got
to have that time.
There's
and
a huge amount
tells
of
us
farm,
in His
farmland
word, still
that does not receive enough
natural
rain.
And know that I'm God. Quit talking.
Crop yields that they need.
Listen to Him.
Worried.
I want to tell
that's
you
why they
something.
Built that huge dam project.
I want to share with you something. Listen to me.
I wasn't swearing. I was talking about a dam.
And it says in His word.
So what happens when these wells run dry? That's a pretty good question.
Them,
remember me mentioning the Ogallala Aquifer?
We need to hear Jesus.
That's
voice.
Really important
Amen.
to those of us that
Are
love Kansas,
him?
Right? And I count myself
How
amongst those.
How do we hear
those,
His voice,
love
though?
Kansas.
There's five ways in which the Spirit of prophecy
that's really important to us here, isn't it?
We hear it
at Ogallala Reservoir.
We hear His voice in nature.
Because it underlies
we hear His voice through
much,
godly men
most
and women.
Of Kansas, actually.
We hear it through providence.
Well, the wells around the edge of
life.
This
and we also
aquifer,
hear it through impression.
Guess what?
Those are the five
They've already
ways.
Gone dry.
I'm going to just focus
the
a little
Ogallala
bit, just a few minutes, because I know we're running out of time, on the Bible.
Is
and hearing His voice from the Word of
it's
God.
It's being overpumped.
It says, do we hear Christ's
much,
voice?
Much
are we following Him?
Plunged.
It is of great importance that we know whether we are following the true shepherd. In order to
know
this, we must search His word.
Have predicted that
for it is His voice
Ogallala
speaking to us, what says the Scriptures.
Will be
this is to be our watchword in every step. In God's word,
when
we find an answer to every question, from it shines upon our pathway, revealing the good shepherd as He goes before us.
What's 14 from 35?
If you hear an impression or a thought that you're not sure it's from God,
21
you
years.
Go to the word.
It will be dry, but
and
think of this, long before it's dry, there's going to be significant problems.
I was vacuuming my house. Some of you may
long before it's dry,
before.
There
and
will
God
be
said,
arguing, and there will be problems
now, I thought it
with
was
people
a little loony, hearing voices. And I thought, how could this really
this
be Him?
Resource.
How do I know for sure this is Him? And when that
Can
happened,
imagine
the phone rang, and I ran to the phone, and there was no one there.
As a dust
I felt
bowl,
the presence of the Holy Spirit
of
just around me, and I dropped to my
longer.
Knees, and I said, God, you're
and
calling
And much worse
me,
than that
must.
Thought is, is the fact that this is happening all over the world.
I was thinking maybe I wanted this so badly that my mind was doing this, you know, because I wasn't happy in my situation, and I wanted to quit my job and work for him. But was he really telling me to? Or was it me that really wanted to do that? So what did I do? Next morning I got up and I got my devotional out, and you know what it said?
This is the scripture
that it said for me. God's timing is impeccable. Do you ever see how he leads your devotional life? Have you ever experienced that? For when you're reading something, you know that he had put it there for you to read for that particular day.
Perhaps we could get away from hybrid seeds.
That is so exciting.
Go back to the natural
seeds. He is telling you things.
Do pretty well with natural
rainwater. Here he told me that morning. You did not choose me.
But our production would plummet.
Okay, this isn't
me. It would be about 10%.
But I chose you.
We would
and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give.
Here's another thing to ponder.
I knew then
the price of oil and
the price of food.
Just the
presence of God telling me
are directly
it was me who said that.
It's really
yes,
interesting. I saw at the seminar
a
graphic representation of spikes in oil.
And then I was like, what? You know, but that's a
great
story.
I saw another one. I tried to find this.
I began to see that prayer was a conversation with God.
But I saw another
Bible
one.
Study. And you know, the word is his voice. Time, and he's speaking to us. So what I began to do was to take his word before me.
Take those two charts, put them on top of each other.
With the Bible in front of me. And I
every time
just was like, he was speaking
spikes,
to me, and then I would speak to him.
Spikes.
And he would speak to me,
if
I would
food
speak to him.
If price,
and that's
if
how
price
we
of
had
oil
a
goes
conversation
up 100%,
with God. And listen what
100%.
It says in Education, page 260.
Now, this has been happening
if we keep the Lord ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise to him, we shall have a
continual
freshness
in our
religious life.
Is if you go to the grocery store and you're used
our
to picking up a box of cornflakes and paying $4 for it, I don't know, that might be
with God, as we would talk with a friend.
Okay, you take a box of cornflakes for $4. Well, how much of that $4 is actually
ask God for this.
Related
we need to,
the price
to have
of corn.
This conversation with God every day, every morning.
Maybe 10 cents.
He will speak His mysteries to us personally.
So if
he
the
wants
price
to
of corn doubled.
He wants to share with you what's going
to
happen that day.
Do we even
or maybe he
the
wants
difference.
You to call someone
we don't
who's
notice
hurting.
It.
Or
but
maybe he wants you to go
farmer,
to so-and-so's house and take
poor
care of
person
something.
Existing
you have
in
got
a,
to be ready to go
in
God's ears.
On
and you've got to listen to him so he can tell you what he wants you to do.
And you go to the market just to get a handful
I don't do this
of grain to feed your
family. I'm preaching to myself.
And the price doubles.
We all need to do this.
You go home
we
with
all
that
have
much
got
grain.
To. He wants to tell us personal things.
The poor people
personal
of the
things.
Earth
maybe there's
are being
really
dramatically
good
impacted
that need
by
you
the
and
price,
you don't know it.
By
people can
price
hide these
and
things.
Food.
And they don't show
and
you.
And that even is occurring when there's
and
still
Song
sufficient
of Solomon
water
says in verse 7,
chapter 7,
verse
10, billion
I am my beloved, and his
how many
desire
people?
Is toward me.
7
we've
billion
got to really believe
people,
that God desires.
5 billion,
he's our
what
beloved.
Percentage is that?
He desire is for
half
us.
Half of the people
he's
on the face
us.
Of the planet live on $2.50
really
a day or
less. We've got to really believe that God loves us
less.
So much. He wants to talk to us. He wants to talk
there's
to us
about,
more than we
I
want to
there
talk
was,
to
there was about one,
he really
1
does.
Billion that live on
he wants
a dollar
to tell us things.
A day or less.
And we just don't have the time
now,
to
now, in
listen.
Normal times,
or maybe
that, what I mean by normal times
or maybe we're
is
sad.
Maybe
we're depressed.
Of gas,
maybe we've got a lot of problems. Or maybe we're just stressed out with our job.
During those times, about 15% of the
maybe we're just busy working for God and we don't even have time for him.
They're significant.
I've been there. I don't have time to pray, God. I've got a Bible study and I've got this and I've got that. And he's like, wait a minute. You've got your priorities all messed up here. In Psalms 144:3, it says, Lord, what
so
is
imagine
man
that, if you were
that you take
to live
knowledge
in one
of
these third world
or
countries?
The son of man that you are mindful
and
of
your level of
David
dissatisfaction with the political
God
landscape is pretty high.
Of man.
You're going along, you have this level of dissatisfaction, your life isn't going so well, but all of a sudden the price of oil spikes.
Do you feel that way that he's just he wants to tell you things, he wants
to
talk to you?
Children from having
he will wake you up. When Hannah, my daughter, was an infant,
and then you,
oh, so sleep deprived.
There's some people that come in.
I know a lot of you might be sleep deprived for other things,
night,
but I remember that period of time. I was so tired when she was little. And I would just pray, Lord, wake me up. I cannot get up to have time with you. And then she gets up, and then my day's over as far as having time with you goes.
Because
so
when
please
people
wake
are hungry,
and I found this promise in Isaiah 50, verse 4. And
government.
It says, the Lord God has given me the
how
tongue of the Lord,
that
I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned.
Okay, five.
And I would claim that, and I turn my alarm off.
Five out of the whole congregation. I didn't know that.
Every time you want to talk to me, wake me up.
I didn't realize until I saw that graph.
He wakes you up.
Of the price of oil overlaid.
And I said, Lord, you're going to have to wake me up and make me alert because
I am
tired. You can wake. He's woke me up before, and I can choose to go back to sleep. And I've done that.
I knew there were people that were starving and were hungry, but I didn't realize.
I have a choice. Do I get up and be with him, or do I go back to sleep? And that's a choice, and that's the struggle.
So add together the fact that we have less and less tillable land on the earth. We're losing the war with insects.
Well, one morning, I remember specifically, he woke me up, and then Hannah was crying.
We're running out of
water. And I ran up, and her monitor was going off, and I ran up to her room. It's upstairs. I ran up there. She was sleeping peacefully like a baby. She was not crying. But I heard a cry.
And
but you know what? I got up and I realized,
like I do, that
I'm up.
Food will become increasingly
okay,
unavailable.
God, you got me out of bed. Now we can have our time together.
To the degree of conflict around the world.
One thing I realize is that prayer is the key to heaven's storehouse.
What's in the future?
This is in steps to Christ.
Matthew 24, 6 and 7.
Why should the sons and daughters
Jesus
of God
words,
be reluctant to pray?
For nation will
when
rise against nation
the
and kingdom against kingdom.
To unlock heaven's
there will be
storehouse.
Famines.
Where our treasures,
and
our boundless resources,
all
of
these
the omnipotence.
Are the beginning of sorrows.
He is desiring to give us such blessings when we come to Him in prayer. I don't know what time I need
all.
To stop.
Another essential ingredient
okay,
in the way we
finish,
produce food
but the
is
next section
phosphorus.
Was persistent prayer and fasting and prayer, and we'll go
certainly
over a little
we
bit
have
about
lots
fasting
of phosphorus,
later
right?
in the book of Nehemiah.
Wrong.
So I know you know about how we need to be persistent and how sometimes God calls us to fast when we really,
really
need something urgently to fast and pray. And then
90% of the entire world's resources
quickly
of phosphorus
so we can finish.
Comes from only
and the power
five
of
countries.
United prayer. And I didn't get to that. But I don't know if you guys go to prayer meetings. But God gives us a specific promise. And I just want to read this to be our final thought.
And the production of phosphorus peaked. And by the way, that increases
here in,
by 3% a year.
It's in letter 32.
Our production of phosphorus
1903,
peaked.
Page 5.
Way back in 1990.
The power of united prayer. Prayer meeting is essential.
Now, if our need increases by 3%
think,
a year,
oh,
but our production
week,
is declining, what does
for
that
the growth
tell us?
Of the church, for the growth personally, for the unity of God's people
there's
to do finish the work. This is imperative
we're not have enough phosphorus.
That you come to prayer meeting.
And we
you
need
come weekly to pray together.
Food.
Let me share with you something that
in
we
fact,
are promised if we do this.
Estimated
as a church,
by those
we have received
that,
great light. This light the Lord has entrusted to us for the benefit and the blessing of the world. To us it's been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are encouraged to pray for success with the divine assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Ask of me and I will answer your request. The promise, though, is made on condition that the united prayers of the church are offered. And in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a power greater than that which comes in answer to private prayer.
Global.
Our united corporate prayers
oceans?
Are essential.
Years ago, I remember
I cannot
people
say
talking
this
about how we
enough.
Could feed
they
people
are essential.
From the riches
if you
the
really
ocean.
Want to grow, if you really want your
in
church
fact,
to grow,
about
if you really want to share God's
get,
word and finish the work so Jesus can come and we can leave this horrible place, we've got to come together to pray.
From harvest
we
from
must
the
do this.
But
the power given will be, listen, the power given will be proportionate to the unity of the members and their love of God. And for
and
one another.
Ocean chemistry and
so
water
if we
temperature.
Love one another,
and the viability of shallow water nurseries.
We got if we don't love each other, if we have any differences, we got to make them right.
Things that are eventually
we've got to make them right with each other.
Trying to maintain
and we've got to love each other.
And
if you don't love a certain individual in the church, you've got to ask God to give you love.
As a result,
because
in more
forgiveness
and more
and love does not
bigger
come
boats
from within.
Have to go farther and
it
farther.
It only comes
and fish
from
deeper,
God, the
and
source
taking
of love.
Species out
and
of
I've learned that forgiveness cannot come
for
myself. I cannot conjure up forgiveness. I
why are we having to go farther? Why are we having
it
to fish deeper?
It only is the source
why are we
of
having
God
to use
pouring
bigger
it in
bigger
me.
Rigs?
And if there's any differences, pray
because we've overfished.
That God will give you forgiveness and love and come together and pray.
A resource.
And he will bless.
While it's renewable,
He will pour out His Spirit.
It faster than it's
and
renewing.
You will just be amazed at what He'll do.
We're over-harvesting
so
and we're
let's
depleting
have closing
whole
prayer
species
what
of
should
fish.
I do, Pastor Berger? Should we pray? Okay.
add to the over-harvesting
Thank
the fact
so much,
that
Father
the
God, that we
dirtier,
can be together in your house this morning.
The fish are being
I
impacted
just praise
by
you for
the changes
Sabbath day of rest,
that we see,
a day
that
to spend
discussed,
in contemplation
and,
of you
and add
your
to that
wonderful,
the worry of the long-term
mercy
effects
and
of the radioactivity.
Grace and love that you shed abroad upon us.
But now these
I just
fish
pray
are
that you would
speak
to us, speak through Pastor Steve and me,
all over the world,
help us to
scientists have
what
grown
you want
concerned
us to
about
say.
The death of
May
reefs.
These be your words and not
these
ours.
Are the nurseries for
I
the
just
entire ocean.
God for the
when the reefs die,
here in this
so does the ocean.
Of believers, my family,
consequently,
my
obviously,
friends,
the oceans are not the answer to
thank you, God, so much.
Global
May you just pour out your spirit
problem.
And give us unity today, fellowship
sea
in
sea harvest
Lord.
Peaked
and we
in the late
in the
1990s
Jesus,
at about 85
amen.
Million tons per year, and it's been in decline ever since. This shows the collapse of the global fish stocks. The vertical axis is percent of species collapsed. Interesting chart, huh? Another thing affecting our oceans is our production of carbon dioxide. We are, as an oil-burning planet, we are producing a lot of carbon dioxide. And you might wonder, well, you know, scientists have been predicting that all this carbon dioxide was going to cause tremendous global warming. And there's a lot of arguing over whether that's occurring. Well, part of what threw off the models that the scientists were using is they didn't account for how much the oceans were absorbing carbon dioxide. But now we're beginning to see that. If you take water, H2O, and you combine it with carbon dioxide, what do you get? H2CO3 carbonic acid. Carbon dioxide that's dissolved in the water increases the acidity of the ocean. Does that sound like a good idea? It's not a good idea. It's causing changes in the pH that are especially in recent years, noticeably measurable, and it's occurring over the entire oceans. Recently, oceanic acidification has reach such a state that they're beginning to see it affecting shellfish, dissolving their shells. And obviously it's affecting the coral reefs. We've probably all heard about that. Another problem is that when fertilizers run off the soil, they run into the rivers. The rivers run into the ocean. The excess fertilizer there then results in an algae bloom. The algae die, sink to the bottom, the bacteria feed on the algae and consume the oxygen in the water, leading to really low oxygen levels, resulting in a dead spot right there. These dead zones are found in the Gulf of Mexico, where our rivers run into it. There's actually, at last count, more than 500 of these dead zones around the world, with 200 more on the way. That's significantly worse over the last 10 years. Our oceans also serve as a giant heat distribution system. The heat distribution affects our global patterns and in the past have kept them relatively stable and predictable. Predictable enough that we could afford to build infrastructures for producing food based upon the predictability of the weather. Well, recently scientists have noticed that these currents are changing, and with that change, we're beginning to notice significant climate change. How many of you believe in global warming? Oh, wow. A lot of you do. I don't know whether it's occurring, but I think no one disagrees that there's global climate change. No one argues that. That's pretty evident to all of us. So we see one of the causes to that is this change and how the oceans distribute heat. Also, we've got a problem with the oceans are rising. We know that our coastal cities are going to be, many of them are going to be visited by God's judgments. Could this be one of the methods that he would use? When climate change, storms, droughts, heat waves, pestilences, and disease that did not previously affect our societies, they're now suddenly making a profound impact. Put another way, climate change destabilizes our society, destabilizes our systems, the way that we live is going to be impacted more and more. And it's going to significantly increase costs. And it's going to increase our food production, increase our food production problems. In other words, our cities, our farms, our roads, our bridges, our dams, our levees, our electrical grids, our water distribution systems, they're all located and constructed where they are under the assumption that conditions would remain relatively the same over time. Can we adjust as conditions change? We seem to have a great deal of confidence in our technological prowess. But I would say that these changes are occurring much too rapidly for us to adjust to. And they're going to be profoundly expensive to adjust to. We can't afford it. I can't overestimate how big of a deal this is. Think about just what's in this area. You know, if you look out there, what do we produce in great quantities around here? A lot of grain, right? Okay, you have an infrastructure that's built around the production of the grain, the storage of the grain, the transportation of the grain. All of that is located in this area because here's where grain is grown. What would happen if grain could no longer be grown here and all of a sudden the ideal place for growing grain is in Georgia? It would take years to move all of that infrastructure over to Georgia, wouldn't it? It would take a long time to adjust to such a substantial change. We have built our entire infrastructure with the assumption that things were going to be predictable. On the screen, there's a chart of droughts in the United States. I'm sure you've heard of how Lake Mead is drying up and how California is under water restrictions and there's problems all over. These problems are worldwide. They're not just here affecting us. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of controversy over whether or not there's global warming, but pretty much everybody agrees there's global climate change, and we're beginning to see it as really significant and really affecting us more and more. There's greater variation from what's normal than we've ever seen before. Here's a chart that shows weather catastrophes from 1980 to 2012. What's the trend? There's 2.8... How many people are on the planet today? 7 billion. There's 2.8 billion people that are already facing water scarcity. That's 40% of the global population. And that number is going to increase. Currently, 1.2 billion people get their water from melting snow and melting glaciers. Well, the glaciers, as we've all heard, are melting, right? So right now, they've got plenty of water. But what happens when those glaciers are gone? What happens to those people that are dependent upon that melting water? And coastal cities with burgeoning populations have been overpumping their aquifers. Now, their aquifers lie close to the ocean. So what is happening is you've got ingress of salt water into their aquifers. And that ingress is to the point now where it's easily measurable. Lake Mead is a source of water for 22 million people in the southwestern United States. It's dropped 125 feet in a 14-year drought. Another 80 feet and the water level will be below the water inlet pipes. That's why Las Vegas is spending all kinds of money to build a pipe that taps in at a lower point. Israel depends upon, for much of its water, depends upon the Sea of Galilee. The sea is in rapid decline and soon will drop below the level of the inlet pumps. Same problem. This is global, these problems. So we see a distress in all of the systems that God created. He put into play, they were to remain stable and interrelated with each other and support us permanently. He designed them to be eternal in their capabilities. But because of sin and because of man, especially because of man's recent technological inventions and so forth, that these systems are in rapid decline. They're all under serious attack. So we see the decay of global food production systems, the decay of global climate systems and the oceanic systems and freshwater systems. We see that the effects of sin are rapidly coming to a head. Well, let's now take a look at some of man's systems. One system we're very dependent upon is our economic system. And the economic system, it's become globalized. You can't have a problem in one part of the world without it affecting other parts of the world. And we've all heard about how the whole European Union is being impacted by some of the countries that overborrowed. We see always of Portugal and Italy, and we see the problems in Greece. That's really impacting them. They're really worried about it. They're spending all kinds of money trying to shore these governments and these systems up. But one thing that strikes me as I've studied how the economy works is that it's very dependent upon the thinking that tomorrow is going to be better than today. Have you ever thought about that? It's kind of like a house of cards. If enough people think that tomorrow is going to be better than today, the markets rise. Now, when enough people become frightened and think that tomorrow is not going to be as good as today, then they try to sell, right? But there's always the bottom feeders there that they want to take advantage of the selling, and they're going to be doing some buying at the time, and that keeps the markets from going down too far. But what would happen if pretty much everyone thought that tomorrow was going to be worse than today? There's no end to how low it will go. Everything would collapse. All it would take is for some terrible event that just scared everyone. Like, for example, a city being destroyed. We're told that God will soon be visiting judgments upon the cities. And I think very soon. In other words, for our tightly interlinked global financial system to keep working, it's necessary that the world continue to function more or less normally. The climate, crops, water availability, number and intensity of storms, and so forth, they need to stay more or less the same as they have in the past for our global financial system to be healthy. After all, why do you think it's unhealthy today? Because we see all of these things changing. Bible-reading Christians know that in the time of the end, the age that we're now living in, that the world will not function normally at all. This chart shows natural disasters which were reported between 1900 and 2011. Now, while there's been a little bit of a tapering off there in the last few years, what's the dramatic feature of that chart? Almost a logarithmic type increase, right? The United States, the largest economy in the world, is drowning in debt. And we have no fiscal self-control. Japan has had remember how we studied Japan? You know, the Japan of the 1980s, business schools were studying in the 1990s because they seemed like it was an economic juggernaut that in fact, we were afraid of the Japanese, that they seemed to be buying everything up. They've had a stagnant economy. Now, when have you last heard about anything that would make us fearful of the Japanese? It's been a while. And they're reeling from the costs associated with dealing with their earthquake and their tsunami and the nuclear accident of 2011. The European Union, as I mentioned, it's staggering from a series of financial blunders and mismanagement, especially on the part of some of the nations that have been less risk-averse. China, the world's second-largest economy, they're fighting both a recession and inflation at the same time. And they're also fighting massive corruption and fiscal mismanagement on the part of state-owned companies and real estate speculators. Our political systems here in the United States, are they working? Not very well. Americans seem too uninterested to bring discipline to our political system. We keep voting the same people and over again, in spite of the fact every single poll says we're dissatisfied with them. Does that make any sense? Why do we do that? Our justice, and if Americans are interested, they seem too ill-informed to be able to make good choices. Our justice system is bent on destroying our Constitution, and political correctness and anti-Christian sentiment is just running amok. The whole world seems to have gone insane. All the while, we anesthetize ourselves with all kinds of instant gratification and entertainment. Is there any good news? Not from a human perspective. There's no good news on the news. But on the second thought, what we spoke of earlier, these news headlines really are good news because they say, they proclaim loud and long that Jesus is coming soon and very soon. Why? Because man is destroying the planet. For the first time, he's had the capacity to do so, and he's doing it with gusto. Please come soon, Jesus. Amen? Cindy?